In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, Amen. Amen. Let me begin by thanking the rector for his invitation given last spring to preach on this Advent Sunday, the start of a new Christian year. Some of my fondest memories over the decades of this great Sunday with its powerful music and hymns stem from services right here at St. Thomas. The word Advent from the Latin means coming, or more particularly, coming towards. This touches on one of the most basic truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, namely, that in Jesus, God is coming towards us. His kingdom is at hand. And to be ready, we need to repent, which means turn towards him in response. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Most of us think of Advent as the time when we prepare for Jesus' arrival as born in the stable at Bethlehem, our preparation to celebrate Christmas. And true enough. But if we start there at Christmas and we work our way backward through the season to where we are this morning, we see other forms of Christ's coming towards us. For two Sundays, the mid-Advent Sundays, the season draws our attention to John the Baptist, the herald of Jesus' ministry. And then at last, literally at last, we come to today, Advent's first Sunday, which tells us that Jesus Christ is not only the good news in this life, whether in his birth or his ministry, but also at the end, our end, and even the end of the world and of time as we know it. He comes to judge the world as God's last word, to inaugurate God's kingdom in its fullness, that kingdom of peace and love. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for our salvation slain. It is understandable that preparations for Christmas overshadow these other important themes of Advent. And I suppose that today's theme, the end, is the one people would most gladly skip over, with its apocalyptic images and the end of all things. Nevertheless, let me hold our attention right there, because that's what this Sunday is for. So let me begin by getting up close, and I'll speak for myself, so as not to make anyone else squirm. Not only will Jesus come to us, we will go to him. He will come to me, and I will go to him in my own singular personal death. I will lay down the burden of the flesh and see the Lord in his unveiled glory. And he will see me as I am. And thereby render my account. In a couple of years, God willing, I'll be an octogenarian. And although I try to stay healthy, I have a sharpening sense about all this, that time is short and eternity is long, and my appointment with the Lord becomes one of the most important thoughts every single day in my prayers. I notice that my contemporaries, including good friends, increasingly are falling like the autumn leaves. I guess that's the way it is at this stage on life's way. If the Lord called me home today as one of those falling leaves, I could not, according to Holy Scripture, complain about being shortchanged. The days of our age are 70 years and 10, and though men be so strong that they come to 80 years, well, we get the psalmist's point, which is, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Carpe diem, seize the day. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if the Lord will shake the nations, as he says in today's gospel, we are among the shaken as well. He shakes us out of our desire for false security. And there is good news in the midst of all this. It's the best news in the world, namely that our true security is at hand. We can take it from that first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, who was not known for being an optimist, but who is accounted one of the greatest of the prophets. And in his very last sentence read today, he gives us the heart of the gospel of Christ, and he names our authentic security. Now, here's a little of the background. As Jeremiah sees his beloved nation of Judah and its holy city, Jerusalem, collapsing through its infidelities and injustices to its people, weakened to the point of surrender to the Babylonians, who will destroy it and lead a lot of its people into a 70-year captivity. As he sees all this, sees it coming more clearly than anybody, he receives a word of prophecy from the Lord. A righteous branch will grow up within the remnant of the house of Judah after Judah has been stripped of all her worldly possessions and pretensions. It's a prophecy first of the Messiah, the Christ, and then of his redeemed remnant of followers, given 500 years before Jesus of Nazareth's birth. And at the heart of this prophecy is this last sentence in our lesson this morning, which actually repeats almost word for word a prophecy 10 chapters earlier in Jeremiah. Here it is. And this is the name by which he, the Messiah, or she, the remnant, this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. The Messiah and his redeemed people in him. And so it is, and this is what this means for us Christians, that Jesus Christ is to stand before God as the representative goodness, the righteousness, the integrity of his people, actually of all humanity. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is also the one true human being, the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the ground we are invited to stand on. Jesus is our goodness, my goodness, our righteousness, my righteousness, our integrity, my integrity. My judge is also my advocate. Thank God for that. Our admittance into God's kingdom, therefore, is not to be a matter of our merits outweighing our demerits. Nope. Besides, if God were to be extreme to mark such things and judge them, none of us could abide it. But Christ, God's beloved Son, has taken our place in this judgment. He has died our death, and he is risen and reigning on the other side in glory. As we sing one of those great old Latin hymns, the Te Deum, when thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Jeremiah's prophecy gets to the heart of what Advent is about in Christ's birth, in his ministry of healing and teaching, and in his return to judge the world. At Advent, the Lord, our righteousness, comes to us to welcome us home into the life of God, his Father, which is why he taught us to call God our Father. This is the good news. It's the best news there is in the world. So what's the message for us today? Trust in Jesus, depend on him, hang on to him for all your life, keep at your prayers, keep your repentances up to date, and your I love yous, your thanks, your words, and your deeds of love. You heard what he said. Stay alert and watch. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.